Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life with your host Avik. This podcast is all about exploring the latest research, sharing personal stories and providing personal tips for improving our mental health and well-being. Each episode will be joined by experts in the field of mental health as well as individuals who have experienced the transformative power of a healthy mind firsthand. Together, we will dive into a range of topics from managing stress and anxiety to building resilience and cultivating happiness. So, join us on this journey to discover new ways to take care of our minds, bodies, and souls. And let's work together to create a healthier, happier world one episode at a time. So, let's get started. Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life. I'm your host Avik, and today we are thrilled to have Anders Jacobson. So welcome to the show, Anders.
Thanks, Avik. Excited to be here.
Lovely, lovely. So Anders, like, before we start our conversation, I would love to mention this to all of our listeners that Anders is the founder of Brighton Capital, and he has an incredible journey from winning a college basketball championship to building a multi-million dollar business in door-to-door sales. Yes. So now he's a real estate investor helping others achieve the financial freedom. So wait, let's dive into his story and learn how to design a life of abundance. So welcome to the show, Ender.
Thanks, Avik.
Okay. So, Ender, like, to start with, if you can share your journey, like, from winning a college basketball championship to becoming a successful entrepreneur and the real estate investor. So, what are the key moments or the decisions that shaped your path to where you are today?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, I'll start back in 2011. I was 19 years old. I was, you know, on top of the world, riding high. I thought I was invincible. And I got a phone call from my dad that changed everything. It was one of those calls where beforehand, you think nothing can knock you off your pedestal. Like, everything's going your way. We had just won nationals. Things were, you know, all lining up to my goals and my dreams. And after, he told me it was all over. He wasn't going to be able to help me pay for college. I wasn't going to be able to continue to go to school and pursue basketball. And in that moment, I was devastated. So basically felt like the rug had been pulled out from underneath me. I had worked my entire life focused on, you know, achieving this athletic success and going to college. And then after this phone call, my dad told me that he wasn't going to be able to help me continue on this path. And I was torn. I mean, there was two things. I mean, one was my own emotions. I was wondering, what does this mean for me? Where do I go from here? How do I continue on? Are my goals and dreams, are they completely over? And then on the other side, I was thinking, what does this mean for my dad? That he had to make this phone call to his son to say, I can't financially help you anymore. And from that conversation, I decided I need to figure out a solution. You know, how can I get out of this situation and continue on? And so I had an opportunity to try this door-to-door sales thing. I had a mentor that told me, hey, I think you'll be good at this. I think you'd be successful, and this could be a way for you to make a lot of money and continue on to school and pay your own way. And I went out to Detroit, Michigan, which was one of the most dangerous cities in the country at the time, and decided to sell home security systems door to door for the summer. Completely out of my comfort zone, but people were telling me, hey, I think you'll be great. You're competitive, you're an athlete, you know, you'll figure it out. And I tried, and I knocked a lot of doors, and I failed. And I kept trying, I kept pushing, I kept trying to see success. And I knocked hundreds of doors, and I just didn't have any sales. There was no results. And I found myself on a Saturday in the afternoon in Detroit, Michigan, sitting on the sidewalk, wondering, what the heck am I doing? Why am I here? And should I just quit and go home? And in that moment, I remembered something my mentor had told me years before. He said, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. And I didn't truly believe. I realized that moment, I didn't believe that I could be successful. I didn't believe I could have success knocking doors. And I decided to shift my perspective. And my manager at the time had said, of course you haven't had success yet. It takes, you know, instead of knocking hundreds of doors, you need to knock thousands of doors. Instead of working on your sales pitch for, you know, a few hours a day, you need to work on it for weeks, for months to perfect it. And long story short, at the end of the summer, I became the top rookie salesman in the company. And I was able to continue, you know, and carry on with school and basketball. And it kind of propelled me into this door-to-door sales career, where I found that I was good at it. And I found that I was good at making money. But I had another pivotal moment when I got married, where I had been successful and, you know, making lots of money from sales, but it was time to start investing that money and really growing wealth and, you know, setting me and my family up for our future. And I was making money, just kind of dumping away in the stock market, putting away. That's what I had been told to do. And that's kind of what everyone around me was doing. And overnight, one of the stocks that we were heavily invested in went to zero. We lost a fourth of our money overnight. And it was devastating. It was embarrassing. I had to tell my wife, we're newly married, that, hey, you trusted me and I've failed you. And so I went on this journey to figure out a better way to build wealth and freedom of finances and time, because I didn't feel like the stock market was the way. I had seen twice now, through my own experience and then through my dad's, that we needed to build this financial wealth and invest in these vehicles that could actually build true freedom for you. And so I went on this journey. I read, you know, books, podcasts, went to events, and spoke to every mentor that I could. And kind of unanimously, I got the answer that I needed to be investing in multifamily real estate. Said, of course you haven't seen success yet. You need all the successful millionaires, billionaires, they're invested in real estate. And so that's what I did. And I started investing in real estate and slowly started to build and learn and progress. And over the last 7 years, I've built a large portfolio and started Brighton Capital, where now I can help others and invest and build that financial freedom for themselves.
Lovely. So building two multi-million dollar business in the door-to-door sales industry is not a small feat, definitely. But how did your experience in sales contribute to your success as an investor and entrepreneur in the real estate sector?
I think a lot of it comes back to just the limiting beliefs.
Okay.
So in sales, I wouldn't say I was naturally a good salesman. I'm not your prototypical salesman. When you think of the stereotype, usually people don't picture me and my personality. And so when I first got into the door-to-door industry, it was not comfortable for me. And I had a lot of these limiting beliefs that, oh, I don't have the personality for it. I don't think I could be good at this. And just constant chatter in my ear, telling me why I couldn't do it. And I was able to kind of push through those limiting beliefs and realize that those are just things that I'm telling myself or I've heard other people say, but it's not true. And so as I started to get into transition into real estate, I saw these people that were, you know, light years ahead of me. It looked like they were so far ahead. I could never achieve what they're doing. They seemed so educated. They were so knowledgeable about real estate. And as I attended these events and learned from them, it was hard not to think, oh, well, I should just stick with sales. I'll let them focus on the real estate. But as I pushed through those limiting beliefs and said, no, they're no different than me. They're a human being. They started out probably just like me, where they didn't have this knowledge, and now they've worked hard, and now they're ahead. They've progressed. And that's how it went for me, where I was able to push through those limiting beliefs at first, push through those barriers, and it changed my life.
Lovely. So if you could also walk us through the concept of passive investing opportunities in the real estate and how they differ from other investment vehicles like the stock or the bonds.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'd be happy to do it. So with real estate, the way that it works is me and my partners, we'd find an asset, we find a property, and we do all the due diligence, we do inspections, we run all the numbers, underwrite the deal, and we determine that it's a great deal. We put it under contract, we decide we're going to buy it, and we do that, we reach out to investors. We reach out to people who we think would want to partner on this deal and invest in real estate. But these people don't have the time or energy or know-how to do it themselves. And we don't have the finances to purchase a $20 to $40 million property ourselves. So we partner with each other. We pull our money together and we purchase this property. And then me and my partners operate and manage the property while our investors are completely passive. They carry on with their day job. They continue doing what they are good at and passionate about. And we send them passive income every month or every quarter. And so they receive passive income, one, they receive tax benefits, and they receive appreciation on the property without lifting a finger. So we handle all the tenants, the termites, and the toilets, and they sit back and you know, carry on with their day-to-day life. And over about 5 years, on average, we double investors' money. So they invest with us today, about every 5 years, we expect to double their money or more. And this varies from stocks, bonds, other vehicles, because many of those other vehicles don't, you know, have a tangible asset that you can touch, and they're not as consistent long term and don't include the tax benefits. So I could dive in super deep and get super technical and analytical, and I could save that for, you know, one-on-one conversations with any investor. But on average, we normally see that our investments usually quadruple a return from the stock market.
That's great. So many listeners may be interested in starting their journey towards the financial freedom through the real estate investment. So what advice would you give to someone who is considering entering the real estate market for the first time?
I would say, you know, do your homework, start doing exactly what I did early on, start listening to podcasts, start reading books, and start connecting with, you know, people like me or other operators who are doing or investing in real estate. Because this vehicle is not one that you're going to be able to just search on Google and you're not going to have a bunch of opportunities pop up. You have to have a relationship with the operators, because it's a tight-knit community and a relationship community. And so, you know, setting up a call with me or anyone else that you know that is doing real estate and finding which operator aligns with kind of your goals and someone that you would enjoy or want to work with is key, but also just getting educated and knowing kind of what the language is, understanding how the investment vehicle works is key, because you don't know what you don't know. And I would never recommend anyone investing in anything if they don't have at least a clear knowledge of how it works.
Got it. So managing over like 2,500 units across 5 states requires strategic planning and effective systems also. So if you can share some of the insights like into how you approach property management and ensure the success of your investments.
Yeah, so we have specific criteria for every property that we look at. And we look at over 200 properties for each one that we actually buy. So the majority of the properties we turn away. We say, no, we're not interested. This doesn't fit into our buy box or criteria, if you will. And we're very specific on certain areas, certain cities. We love the Southeast in the United States, the high growth markets. We want high growth population, high job growth, low crime. There's a lot of different areas that we focus on, but our key is to be willing to turn away a bad deal and recognize a bad deal, because so many people get into the industry and they just want to buy real estate. And so it's very easy to buy real estate. You just pay someone money and you can own the property. It's more difficult to actually make that property profitable and manage it well. And so we've gotten very good at finding or understanding what a bad property is and being able to, you know, sort through those until we find a good one.
Got it. Understood. So along your entrepreneurial journey, what are some of the biggest challenges you faced and how also you overcome it?
So some of the biggest challenges I'd say were mentally. I think early on, I had a scarcity mindset, if I'm being honest. I think I was very competitive, and it still am, I'd say. And in sales and in real estate, even, I think I thought like, oh, this person's making this sale, or this person bought this property. That's less for me. You know, that's taking away opportunities for me. And I realized that there's enough for everybody. This world is so big that there's enough money, there's enough success, there's enough of anything you want in this world, there's enough of it. And so shifting into an abundance mindset and realizing that if you can just focus on creating value for other people, that you'll never have to worry about money and you'll be able to achieve freedom much faster. So I think that's one of the major, you know, lessons that I learned early on. And then also just understanding, you know, that your brain and your thoughts control how your body responds. And so you get to choose how your body is going to respond by the thoughts that you put in inside your brain.
Exactly. So as someone who has achieved significant success at a relatively young age, what are the habits or the mindset shifts have been instrumental in your personal and the professional growth?
So I'm a big advocate of, you know, exercise and eating healthy are two major keys. I feel like if your body is extremely important, you know, having high energy levels, being able to think clearly, if you want to be successful, are, you know, are key. And so I try to every single day get into the gym, get some type of exercise that can get my, you know, my energy up. And it's very apparent on days when I'm traveling or if something comes up where I'm not able to exercise or, you know, eat clean foods, I it's very noticeable that my energy levels decrease. And so say habits wise, one is definitely exercise and eating healthy are two major ones for me. But I'd say there's so many other small habits that you can really get into. I think it was Alex Hormozy said this, but he said when you're asking somebody, you know, what they did to find success, it's so easy for me now, you know, 7 years later to tell you what I'm doing now. But he said, focus on what they did at the beginning, because that's, you know, that's when they were really grinding or really pushing hard. And he said, focus on what they did. And it's usually it's, you know, they just went to work. And I'd say maybe one of my superpowers is just being consistent, where I consistently exercise and have for, you know, about 20 years now, every day. It's once in a blue moon, I miss a day, but I'm exercising almost every day and gradually have learned what it means to, you know, eat healthy. But those early years where I started to kind of see success, I woke up, I exercised, and I got to work. And I went and started grinding. So there's ice baths, there's breath work, there's all this stuff that I feel like I do now and some other people do now, but that's not what I did early on.
Understood. So finally, what advice would you offer to our listeners who aspire to unlock the health, financial, and time freedom in their own lives?
I think define what that means to you is key, because that's different for everybody. Time freedom or financial freedom for me is going to look very different than it would to you or anyone else. And so really define what that means for you and then realize it's a journey. You're not going to hit that today or tomorrow or next week, next month, even next year. People often overestimate what they can do in 1 year and underestimate what they can do in five. And so really understand that this is a journey. Have clear goals and expectations, and then realize if I stay consistent over time, I can achieve it.
Like it's really great that we learned today about step-by-step journey and expertise in the real estate investing. So thank you so much, Anders, for sharing this. And what I also feel like I believe all of us, like all the listeners, have found this inspiration and the insights from you, Ander, because you have shared your remarkable journey, and it's not so easy, and your expertise in the real estate investing. So as we learned, the unlocking the health, financial, and the time freedom requires the determination and strategic planning, and also willingness to step out of your comfort zone. So whether someone is considering venturing into real estate investing or pursuing your entrepreneurial dreams, always remember, dear listeners, that the success is within reach. And when you commit to continuous learning and take actions towards your goals. So yeah, it's really great. And if you have enjoyed this today's episode, do not forget to subscribe to our podcast for more empowering conversations and the practical tips to support your journey towards holistic well-being. So until next time, take care of yourself and continue striving to live your best life, which is very, very important. So thank you so much.